All right. Thank you, brother. Well, let us take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. If you got your Bible, it's in the New Testament. And I just want to show you two texts tonight, that show that what we're doing is scriptural our missions emphasis at the church. And this one is what I call our annual outline in Philippians chapter 4. I do this every year. You all know the outline, most of you, but some of you are new. Appreciate those musicians talking about why should I fear when he is near. Praise the Lord. What a thought that is. If you play an instrument, we invite you to play with us Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. It's a good thing, good way to praise the Lord. Feel free to talk to me about it. I don't bite. And we'd be glad to fill this whole place up with musicians playing for the Lord's glory here at the church. And again, I hope a lot of you are going to really be in the choir and in the cantata. Really give it our all this year and see how God uses that. Philippians chapter 4 is the story of a missionary. His name is Paul. He was sent forth by the church at Antioch. Him and Barnabas and John Mark accompanied him for a little while. The three of them went out as missionaries from that church. You can read the history of that in Acts chapter 13. Holy Ghost. They were busy in the church at Antioch, and the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I've sent them to." And so they did, and they laid hands on Paul and Silas, and they sent them forth, and really was the first official missionaries that were sent forth by a local church to go. And Paul would actually take three different missions journeys, and they're documented for us in the book of Acts. And during one of them, when you get to Acts chapter 16, he planted a church in the town of Philippi. It's quite a rough time with this church plant. But when he got to Philippi, he found a bunch of women together having a prayer meeting. And he went in and spoke to them the word of the Lord. And it turns out there was a lady in that prayer meeting whose name was Lydia. And it says these words about her, "whose heart the Lord opened as she attended to the words of Paul." God uses preachers, and in their words are the word of God. And God opened her heart. That is a wonderful experience. On the road to Emmaus, those guys didn't understand anything, and God opened their eyes. He opened their understanding, and he opened their hearts to the scriptures. God can do that. God can do that for any one of us. The scriptures can be an open book to us. And we don't have to go through life saying, "What was that about?" Well, we can understand the Bible because of the opening power. Study that word out, opening, how Jesus opened. And Jesus can open your heart, your understanding, your eyes, and my heart, and my understanding, and my eyes as we read the scriptures. So Lydia gets saved, and then Paul goes and Barnabas, and they go to her household, and all of her household gets saved, and then they get baptized. And those were the first converts in what we call Europe. Then there's a demon-possessed woman in that town who starts opposing them and harassing them for days and days and days. And finally, Paul had enough and commanded the unclean spirit to come out of her. And she was a new girl. God helped her. Now, those that were in Philippi didn't appreciate that because they made a lot of money off of her sorcery's abilities, which were very evil. And so they put Paul and Barnabas in jail. And the jailer, of course, almost beat him to death. And so they were sitting in jail with stripes up and down their backs from being beaten and flogged. And there they were in jail, not like jails today or here in America. They were cuffed. They had their ankles and wrists were in were in cuffs, and so they were sitting there. It was Paul and Silas at this time, and not Barnabas, but Silas, and they were singing praises unto the Lord at midnight in the jail. And all of a sudden, there was a great earthquake, and their chains fell off, and the doors opened, and they were going to escape. And the jailer, who had almost beaten him half to death, took a sword out. He was going to run the sword through him, because he knew that in the Roman Empire, if you let any of your prisoners go, you were put to death for that. But Paul and Silas went running in and said, "No, sir, don't do that. We're all here. No one's escaped. It's okay." And that man was so affected by that, he basically fell down and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said to the jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And the jailer took him and Silas to his house, and it says he washed their stripes, probably bandaged them up, probably put oil and you know, maybe an antiseptic in there, like wine or something. And then they spoke the word of God to his house, and that whole family got saved and then baptized. That was the core beginning of the church at Philippi. History tells us this church grew to thousands that we know of, according to the history, within 10 years. And this letter then is written to this church. And in 10 years it had become quite a church that it had, plural, bishops and deacons, according to chapter 1, verse 1. And it was a tremendous church. And sometimes church plants start out kind of rough. That's quite a little congregation he started there. A jailer, Lydia, and some demon-possessed girl. Now, here you go. There's your core. Get this thing started. And it's pretty tough. I can remember after 4 years at Hilltop thinking, "This is not working. This is not working." And I've told Brother Ben that on several occasions. Up there, it's tough to get a real core, but once you do, God blesses faithfulness. And so, this letter is about 10 years or more after the planting of this church through missions. Amen? Through missions. God plants churches. I have a bunch of mission stories. I don't know if I'll get to them. But here's one little one. It says, it was a Jew who brought the gospel to Rome, a Roman who took it to France, a Frenchman who took it to Scandinavia, a Scotsman who evangelized Ireland, and an Irishman in turn made the missionary conquest of Scotland. And so that has just been God's means down through the years, sometimes to send somebody from one place to another to be the first missionary and bring the gospel to those people. And so Paul and Silas are Jews, and these Philippians are mostly Gentiles, and what a wonderful work God does there. And then at the end, in the last chapter of his letter to them, chapter 4 here in the book of Philippians, we read this as he writes to this church. He's going on in his missions work. He's not there anymore. But he says in verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again." Isn't that wonderful? He's not even there, but he's the missionary who planted the church. And he says, "I have just rejoiced in the Lord that now your care of me," the church's care of the missionary, "hath flourished again, whom you were also careful." In other words, you were very mindful of me, but you lacked opportunity. "Not that I speak in respect of want." Basically, today Paul would say, "I'm not in this for the money. I'm not trying to get your money from you, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." And that's what missionaries do. So many missionaries just have to be content. It is nice if they get 100% of their support, but verse 12, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. As a missionary," verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That certainly is one of the more misused verses in the Bible. But this is talking about the missionary going forth and saying, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And what a promise that is for missionaries. It is for us too, but it's in the context of the missionary going out, whether he has support or not. Notwithstanding, even though I can do anything through Christ, notwithstanding, verse 14, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. In other words, you stayed in touch with me. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. This is one of the two verses I want to point out tonight that shows a model that we still follow to this day. And that is verse 16, for even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. Now, we go through this every year, but some of you are new. So that's why we have faith, promise, missions, giving, and why we commit. And there's a whole story about it in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 that I didn't cover this month about people promising to give, and some didn't give, some did. And then Paul coming back and saying, now you should be forward from where you were a year ago. And I didn't cover that this year. But verse 16 is a model for us that we at Faith Bible Baptist Church here in Eden have followed for decades. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Now, we used to do it monthly. Now we do it bimonthly. We double up the amount of money and give them 2 months of support every 2 months. So we do tell them we support them monthly, but it's we combine 2 months and send one doubled check to them so they can stay on the mission field. And we do that 6 times a year. But it is, on a monthly amount that we have promised them to support them for financially. And we're just trying to save, like, on postage and work because, 150 checks, 140 checks is a lot of work. I don't know how many you write a week, but not because I desire a gift, verse 17, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, we get into the blessings here. Verses 15 and 16 is about giving to the missionary, giving, verse 15, sending once and again unto their necessity. Okay, verse 16, 15 and 16. And then these four promises, these four blessings that now follow, which I outline number one every year. Number one, missions giving. Missions giving is a blessing to us in the next life. Missions giving is a blessing to us in the next life. Look at verse number 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You have an account going, so do I. And there is fruit that may abound to your account in the next life. It'll be a blessing. We talked about the next life this morning in our sermon on how we should be very careful that we lose not that which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. And my wife and I were talking about this on the way home. I never heard about rewards growing up as a Christian. I don't know why. They just never dealt with it in the church I got saved in. And then I started reading my Bible myself, and I started reading about all these royal rewards, these crowns, ruling with Christ forever, reigning with Christ, and then, just other blessings in heaven that are like incentives. Incentives. And sometimes we just function better when we have an incentive. The world's not smarter than God. If you go to a business and they and you say, what are the incentives for working here? Is there any chance of promotion or a pay raise or something? Nope, none. Well, you're not going to work for that company. You're not going to, if they say, oh yeah, we got Christmas bonuses, if the company, earns X amount and so on, we divide that up among the the people, and there's a chance you could be have a pay raise in 3 months or 6 months. And yes, we're looking for people that can be promoted, that prove themselves maybe to a managerial position or something, not an hourly wage, but a contract type of thing. Yeah, oh yeah, we got. I mean, my buddy Billy Roberts, he started flipping hamburgers over here at Orchard Park when they put the McDonald's in when I was a teenager, 75, 74. He started flipping hamburgers there. I can't tell you how many McDonald's he's managed, and he still owns Subways all around the place. And that's just something he did. Boy, he advanced and he advanced and he advanced and he advanced. And him and his wife are living well. I just saw him a couple months ago. I went used to run track with him. He was tremendous. I went to the state meet. He was so good. But boy, he just started flipping hamburgers and just started advancing, showed managerial skills pretty soon. And now he's to the place, he says, I still got two more of my Subway stores to sell. Then I'm out. I'm retired. So, boy, did he do well. But anyways, incentives. Incentives. And we talked about incentives this morning. Crown of life, you know, the crown of endurance, incorruptible crown, the elder's crown, the preacher's crown, and so on. Those are incentives. And this is an incentive, too, that as we give to missions, there will be blessings for us in the next life. And Paul says, I'm not in it for the money, not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. We hope that ministers do this for others so that they'll have a better resurrection and a blessing in heaven. Then it's a blessing to the missionary. Verse number 18. Number two, it's a blessing to the missionary. When we give to missions, number two, it's a blessing to the missionary. He says in verse 18, the first part, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Notice how happy he is here. He describes himself as being full. He describes himself as abounding. He says, I can't believe this here. He says, I'm over here in Macedonia trying to win people to Christ, plant churches, and you keep sending and sending and giving. And Epaphroditus showed up and he said, here, Paul, this is from the church at Philippi. This is what we gathered for you. And he just wrote back to him and said, I am full. I abound. What a blessing that is to the missionary. It's a blessing when they come through our church and we say, we're going to support you. We're going to help you get to so-and-so and help to keep you there. And we're going to hold the rope for you while you're serving the Lord over there in whatever country it is. And we support missionaries in every time zone of the world right now. And it's a blessing when they hear from us and they receive finances. Plus, we send our, I don't know if you know this or not, we got this little booklet called Faith is the Victory that we send out four times a year. We send that to all of our missionaries. And I can't tell you how many of them that blesses. They say, you're the only church that lets us know how things are going back home. The only one. We hear that over and over again. Not that we boast about that or anything. We just want to be an encouragement to them. And we get notes all the time from some of these missionaries and say, boy, we received that newsletter. It's so good to hear something from home. And then they're praying for us too. So number one, it's a blessing to us in the next life. It's a blessing to the missionary. Now notice the end of verse 18. It's a blessing to God. It's a blessing. If you ever said, boy, I'm so glad God saved me. Can I do something for him? Look at the end of verse 18. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Well-pleasing. Not just pleasing. Well-pleasing to God. That offering that you gave by the hands of Epaphroditus to the missionary Paul, that was an odor of a sweet smell, like a Yankee candle, depending on which scent it has. No matter what I buy for my wife, she takes it back, and she gets a different scent. I thought I had it right. So she gives me a coupon the other day. Buy six, get six free. So I got to be able to hit one of them right for Christmas. And then she'll take the others back and exchange them. But I kind of like them all, but she don't. But it's like an odor of a sweet smell. You know that the nose is the creation of God. God made us. God made your nose. Your nose can discern 4,000 scents, fragrances, or odors. In other words, your nose is a miracle. Because you can't even see one of those 4,000 scents, odors, or fragrances. They're invisible. But you know they're real. Because your nose works. God made the nose. Didn't evolve. Something like that is a miracle. Whether you like the way your nose looks or not, your nose is a miracle. And I believe we're made in the likeness and the image of God, and God can smell too. And that's an odor of a sweet smell to God. It's just like any one of us. We've all been pleased by smells at times in our lives. I don't care if you're the biggest, most muscular man on earth. You probably walked in on a Thanksgiving dinner and said, man, that smells good. Wow, what's for dinner? God can smell, and it's an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable. When we give, it's a sacrifice. See, money is condensed life. That's what money is. It's condensed life. You know, if a person earns $20 an hour, and then they give $20 away to a missionary, to some poor person, they have given an hour of their life away. Money is condensed life. Money is just an outward projection of our heart. For Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if you have a heart for missions, your treasure will be there also. I don't know how it is with you, but when we have faith promise, I'm usually the first one to put my faith promise card in. I don't wait all month and then say, oh man, I actually hear people say, well, I never thought about it or something. And boy, we should be thinking about it always. The winning of souls to Christ, saving people from hell, ought to be foremost in our minds. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And when we give our treasures to missions, it's where our heart is. It's well-pleasing to God, a sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And then last of all, it's a blessing to us in this life. Look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so God says, look, I'll keep an account in heaven for everything you give, but also bless you down here and meet all your needs too. Well, you can't lose by giving to missions over and over and over and over again and sending off to these people. You can't lose because God keeps his word. God keeps his word. Well, in closing, let me show you one other verse. Turn to Acts 14. Here is another practice we still do to this day, 2,000 years later. Just as we do what we just read, we give over and over and over again to missions. And start early. You kids, get in on it. And teenagers and young adults, you're just starting to get into the work field. Don't forget about God. Don't forget about his word and his gospel and the need of the world to be saved. Don't forget about him. Get in young. Learn how to be a giver. And God's going to just bless you as you go along like he promised. I don't know why anyone would want to miss out on his blessing. So maybe fill a card in tonight before you leave. I'm not going to ask for them anymore, but we're short of that goal, and we'd like to reach the other goal too. Here's one other practice that's biblical that we still do to this day. Acts 14:27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Notice the word rehearsed. This is something we also do. We practice till this day. These missionaries went out, and it tells about in verses 21 through 26 all that they did. Let me read it real quick. This is amazing. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia and then sailed to Antioch, and whence they had been, from whence they had been recommended, in other words, they're sending church, to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. What a wonderful testimony of missionaries. They're preaching the Bible. They're preaching the gospel, verse 31. They're confirming the souls of the disciples, verse 22. They're exhorting them to continue in the faith. They're warning them that we've got to go through much tribulation before we get to heaven. They're ordaining elders in every church. They're planting churches. They're praying and fasting. They're commending them to the Lord. And then they go back to their sending church to report. Amen. And then in verse 27, and when they were come, that is to Antioch, their sending church in Acts 13, they had gathered the church together. They rehearsed all, this is wonderful, listen to this, that God had done with them. Amen. Isn't that precious? Remember this morning, we are labors together with God. All that God had done with them. See, when we help missionaries go out, God's going to help them. And God's going to do things with them wherever it is that they go. And many times we've dropped that screen right there, like we will probably Wednesday night. And we've seen dozens of people up there, souls. We've seen hundreds and we've seen thousands of souls on that screen. That these missionaries went, and because they went, they reached those souls. They reached those souls. Join us in this great, great endeavor by giving, by praying, by fasting, by attending when they come like Wednesday night to rehearse. I don't know what Josh is going to say, but he's probably going to say a lot of things about his dad, Larry, and in Argentina. And how he just, remember Larry, he went to Hiles Anderson College and he's hoping to find a wife there. He never did. And so then he goes to Argentina and he finds a wife there. And so he stays there and he's a missionary. And that one time, remember the church, the satanic church, he got so opposed that right next to his church, not a satanic church, but some satanic people, Satan worshipers, started a bar right next to his church. And they named the bar this, Christians Are the Problem. I've never heard a bar name that before. But that was the name of the bar. And they played real loud music, and it was demonic and satanic while they were trying to have church. God gave them the victory. They're still growing, winning souls, and the bar is gone and closed down. A lot of stuff these people go through. And so Josh's son will be here Wednesday. And he wants to continue in Dad's footsteps. Dad's been there a long time. I don't know how many years. Maybe three decades, 30 years maybe. I don't know. We've supported him a long time. But God's done some things with them in Argentina. And that's what it says. And how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. See, God is a God who opens doors that no man can close. Faith. Well, I had a whole bunch of stories, missionary stories, but I'm not going to read them tonight. I think our time is up. But that is the old outline and two portions of Scripture that we still follow to this day, 2021, and that will follow next year in 2022. And that is sending once and again as much as we can, as much as we can. I'm not begging for myself. I've never done that. But for missionaries, I will. Please help us. Please help us. Put a card in tonight if God has given you a mountain, and let us know so we can do all we can do for these missionaries. People like Monique Lindsay, she's up to 41% of her support. She showed us her presentation. Boy, that was powerful. and just touched our hearts of the vision there in Liberia. The Muldoons, I met them this week. They stopped by my office. They want to go and help the deaf in Romania. Now, how many of us honestly have ever thought of the deaf in Romania? I haven't. But they have. And God's put it in their heart. And we're trying to figure out a way they can come here someday and present their work so they can get to Romania and help the deaf. There's a lot of them over there, deaf. Some countries, they just don't even have Tylenol. Kid gets a fever and blows his ears out at a young age, and they're deaf, and nobody's reaching them. Nobody. Monique said, I know these people. They're good people. It'd be nice to support them. It'd be nice to help all these missionaries. And I just want to beg you tonight to help us in this endeavor and give something weekly to be able to reach their souls. Let's sing in closing, Little as Much When God Is In It. Boy, if you're not saved tonight, you don't know what you're missing. You know, you need to be saved. God loves you, and He'd like to save you and give you the gift of eternal life. That's the greatest gift ever. This Christmas is going to be nothing compared to receiving the gift of eternal life. No matter what anybody buys you, it doesn't match. Let's stand together and sing page 846. Let's pray. Maybe come on the altar and pray tonight. In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. He's calling to the harvest, calling you little as much. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and He'll not forget His own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Are you laid aside from service, body worn with toil and care? You can still be in the battle, in the sacred place of prayer. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. And you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is done, He will say to all the faithful, welcome home, my child done. When God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. You know, this world says my wife's never worked a day of her life. You know that? They say that. And she's never going to be able to get any kind of Medicaid or, you know, whatever it is, Social Security and all that stuff. Because she's never contributed, never worked. But you know, she's worked hard at home, and she's worked hard at church here for the Lord. And she puts in her own faith promise card every year, and it's just amazing what I've seen God do for her so that she can give to missions every week. Just amazing. And many of you have testimonies like this, too, that you could share. And so let's just pray and close. We'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we just pray now. I pray, we all pray, that more would participate in the greatest work on earth. Lord, there is nothing anyone can do in politics, in sports, in science that's more important than distributing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to eternal souls that need to be saved. And spreading the word of God and planting churches and doing all the things these dear missionaries do. Lord, I thank you tonight for Eugene Thomas, who used to come to our church when I was a boy. And he spent 40 years in the Congo with his wife, Sandy. His children got sick constantly. It was infested with mosquitoes. He was just eaten up. He had malaria so many times. But oh, the thousands and thousands of souls that got saved there in the Congo when he went, and the miracles he told. Lord, I've never forgotten. Thank you for the missions conference you changed my life at in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, in March of 1979. I gave my life to you and have never taken it back. And so many have testimonies like that here in this room. They do not regret those decisions. And oh God, show us how we can do even more. While we have the opportunity to still fellowship, to still meet in churches, to still give in an organized way, to bless these missionaries. Lord, we think of Josh and Brad this week and their wives, their families. We do not support them financially, but we pray and we ask there'd be a way we could. The Clarks going to Zambia, and Burkhart's, and those we've met at Missions Conference we don't support. Thank you for those in this room who are already contributing and really some sacrificing. God bless them. Please bless them. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight who's not saved, oh, how we pray thy Holy Spirit would work in a great way in them like you did in us once, to see how simple it is to receive the gift of eternal life by faith and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for others to be baptized, others to join the church, and Lord, all of us to have revival. Again, thank you for this good week, and dismiss us now with thy blessing. Many things this week, Lord, use them too. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Before you're dismissed, I just wonder how Mrs. Lindsay made out. Is she all right? Okay. All right, amen. Well, we missed her tonight, but appreciate you being here. This has been a good Lord's Day. You are dismissed. Have some fellowship. Let me know if I can help you in any way, okay? And thank you for coming. Put your cards in if you can.